Professor Mike McCann joins me to discuss the legal fight over who won the Kentucky Derby, Maximum Security, or Country House. This is the UNH Law Podcast. Learn more about the law school and apply by visiting law.unh.edu. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or host and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire. So, Mike, whose names are harder to remember, Eastern European hockey players or horses?
Yeah, there's a challenge to both. There is a challenge to both. There, and I think with the horse names in particular, you know, you're not following horse racing all year.
It's and not many people
no,
do.
And then there's suddenly 20 names that appear. But obviously, they are recognizable to those in the industry.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And certainly people that bet on the races are very familiar with them.
The case at hand is actually pretty interesting. The Kentucky Derby was this past weekend, and there's a chance of a legal battle over whether the horse Maximum Security won the race or not. What happened on the track?
So Maximum Security was the horse that won the race in the sense that it finished first. During the race, however, Maximum Security interfered with other horses, War of Will being one, where it entered the path of another horse, which in turn caused that horse to make contact with others. So there was a chain event. And it's an issue for at least a couple of reasons. One is that the rules prohibit it, that a horse can't interfere with another horse. And then secondly, there's a safety issue that there have been...
Last year, I believe, there was a collision.
There was a collision, really, yeah. And there have been a number of collisions over the years because obviously they're right together and they're going at a fast speed. So there's a safety issue. The controversy is really whether or not the remedy of having the horse that was second, Country House, finish first when it doesn't appear as if it was interfered with. So I don't think there's much controversy over whether Maximum Security committed interference. I think it's over the remedy.
The remedy in this situation would be they get knocked down to, what, 17 plates
or
something
like
that?
Yeah, so it got knocked down, and then the horse that was second sort of was the beneficiary of it, even though it doesn't look like it would have ever caught up with Maximum Security. So some have noted, well, why change the outcome that way? Maybe there's some other way of redoing it, because it looks like the horse that clearly wasn't going to win is now the winner. So there's a sort of a logical issue there, right?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't by a nose. It was, what, 3/4 of the body or something like that. It was pretty big. This is extremely unusual, too. I was surprised that this is the first in-race infraction that's affected who won the Kentucky Derby over its 145-year history. I mean, is this because they just didn't really enforce it, or is it's just that extreme where you don't mess around when you're at this race?
I think it's a little bit of both. Yeah. I think that those who are in the horse industry are very sensitive to interference. So had it occurred to this extent, I think it would have led to some type of punishment. I also think that field conditions and track conditions play a role. Some have noted that the track conditions here were kind of wet.
Yep.
So maybe that
including
means
our president, including the
president of the United States noted the conditions and by implication sort of suggesting let's be more permissive of interference. Yeah, it's an unusual event, and only once before in the Kentucky Derby has a horse that won lost the title, and that was for a drug issue back in 1968. So this is a unique circumstance.
I was excited to see that Trish Morris, who's a JD alum of the school and on our admissions team, assisted you in the article. What kind of insight did she assist with?
Yes, Trish was instrumental in the article. Trish is a terrific animal law attorney. She teaches animal law. She's one of the leading experts in this topic. And she was able to go through the rule that led to the disqualification and the remedy that was imposed. And she raised serious questions about whether this was the right outcome. She doesn't contest that there was interference, and I don't think anyone's really contesting that. But she believes that the stewards, who are the referees, never explained why the punishment was disqualification. That interference doesn't automatically lead to disqualification.
Oh,
that there's,
really?
Yeah, there's discretion. And Trish noted that here, maybe that's the appropriate outcome, but it wasn't actually explained.
It's a big deal to win the Kentucky Derby, both from a notoriety perspective and it's, what, $1.3 million prize or something
like
that?
Yeah, it's over a million, and it is a big deal. Certainly reputation-wise, it's huge, and in terms of endorsement potentials and things like that. But I would also add that the lack of explanation has a legal significance because if you're going to bring a due process claim, it's hard to do it against an administrative agency. But if the agency doesn't tell you why it does something, that can be a pretty powerful argument.
Yeah, and basically the next steps are that they've got to go through every other kind of remedy possible before it reaches the courts. What has that process been thus far?
So they filed an internal appeal to the state, and the state rejected it on grounds that this type of infraction isn't appealable under the rules. That's obviously bad for the owners, Gary West, of Maximum Security. In a way, it's bad because the appeal didn't lead to what he wants, but it's good because now he's exhausted his administrative remedies. His administrative remedies would be those that are with the administrative agency. So if you file a lawsuit before going through the internal process, a judge will say, it's too early, it's too ripe, case dismissed. Now the case isn't too ripe. The process within the state is over with, and a lawsuit can be brought.
Interesting. Now, what's the organization that takes care of all this? I mean, we're used to hearing about the NFL and all that. Who takes care of horse racing?
You know, it's interesting. There's a state agency that has authority over this. Rather than a private sports league, there's a state agency in Kentucky that governs horse racing. And stewards are governed by that agency. They work for the state agency. So you have state workers overseeing horse racing and also refereeing it. And the significance of that is that it creates a nexus to the public. Because when you have a state actor, you're able to bring constitutional claims that you wouldn't against a private entity.
Is there a nationwide agency that's also responsible for anything like this? It's entirely state. Is it because of the gambling perspective that occurs?
Yeah, I mean, part of it's a tradition of states having the authority. Part of it is that if the federal government tried to take over it, there would be a state's rights question. And there's also, as you noted, AJ, the gambling aspect of it, that gambling has been a state issue, though there was a separate controversy, as we know, where the federal government tried to prohibit states from authorizing sports betting. That was overturned last year.
Do you expect this to hit the courts?
Well, the case wouldn't have a strong likelihood of succeeding, but as Trish Morris noted, there are real process questions here. And my understanding of the owner of the horse is pretty livid about what happened. And, you know, if you have a lot of money, you can go to the court system. And I think there would be at least a facially plausible claim. I think the odds would be low that it would prevail. But anytime you can bring in due process and there's a credible argument to that extent, there is a chance for a lawsuit. And obviously this has become such a public controversy. So it looks like there's a pretty good chance there will be a lawsuit.
Are they looking at any changes to prevent this from happening in the future, or are they just kind of playing it by ear at this point? Because it's only been a few days.
I think just playing it by ear. And also, I think had the steward just explained herself more, that would have diffused some of the controversy.
The link to Professor McCann's SportsIllustrated.com article is in the episode description. Also follow him on Twitter at McCann Sports Law. Subscribe to the UNH Law Podcast on your favorite podcasting platform, including Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or host and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire.